I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Richard Seewald, founder and managing partner at Evolution Equity Partners, an international venture capital investor partnering with exceptional entrepreneurs to develop market-leading cybersecurity and enterprise software companies. To learn more about Evolution Equity Partners, visit evolutionequity.com. Also joining us is Adam Fletcher, Chief Security Officer at Blackstone, a Fortune 500 company and the world's largest alternative asset manager with $1 trillion in assets under management. Adam, welcome. Great to be with you again today.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Richard, it's always great to have you on with us.
Hey, Steve. Great to be here. Thanks for having us.
So, Adam, it's been a few years. Time goes so fast, but I always remember you because you've got such a great background, a fun background. We're going to get to some coffee talk in a little while. You know that. But I want to ask you about your background, how you got started in the industry. I remember when we met you the first time, you were talking about tinkering with your dad's computer when you were a kid. I think you worked on the Mac help desk in college. A friend encouraged you to get involved with cybersecurity. And our viewers love, you know, these backstories. So give it to us.
Yeah, I came after what we call the first group of CISOs. I think I've been around cybersecurity for almost as long as, you know, it's been an industry. When I joined, I worked at one of the first MSSPs. I went and did a project, you know, in Brazil that, you know, gave me an opportunity to really kind of start to understand how the business side of security worked. Then I went into consulting for a little while, and I had the opportunity to live overseas and consult for, you know, kind of a premier multinational client, then tried to build a business. I was with VeriSign at the time. I was based out of Geneva, Switzerland, tried to bring the security business to most of Western Europe. And it didn't really go all that well. I don't think they were quite ready for it all the way back in 2002. But it was a great opportunity. And I got to learn a lot about, you know, kind of how to talk to business people about cybersecurity. And then I went into consulting again, had a great opportunity, you know, to do some things. I worked for Network Associates McAfee for a few years as an internal architect. So starting to work my way up the security chain, and then did some really interesting projects at Nokia with a good friend of mine, and eventually got hired into Equifax to run cybersecurity for Latin America. And that was really where I think I turned the corner towards kind of cybersecurity management, because I was essentially the information security officer for all of Latin America. That was across several properties, all of whom had their own IT departments, their own businesses, their own P&Ls, their own development teams. So everything was kind of a little bit self-contained, where, you know, you really had to navigate the different businesses, the different priorities, but at the same time apply a centralized security program, you know, kind of as uniformly as possible. And from there, you know, I came up, joined Blackstone, and I was ostensibly the deputy CISO for Blackstone starting out, running the internal security program. And it's just been a work in progress since then, you know, helping to build the program, helping to grow the team, helping to secure the organization.
Well, Adam, I always appreciate people who have been in the industry for a while. Richard has been, I've been, and inevitably, you know, you bump into a lot of the same connections. You mentioned VeriSign. We just recently interviewed Jim Bidsos. He mentioned Tahir Elgamal, who works for Evolution Equity. So, you know, we're all in this same chain and we all go back. So, Richard, I want to turn to you after listening to Adam and his background. And we've gone further back. We, you know, talked about the world's first CISO, some of the very early CISOs. When you listen to Adam and you talk to so many CISOs, Richard, is that job, that chief information security officer, getting any easier? I mean, we're bringing a lot of new technology to market, you would hope so, but I don't feel that's the case.
I mean, I don't want to speak for Adam, but I can't see how it's getting easier. You know, let's turn back the clock 20 years, where the attack surface was, the nature of the attacker, the complexity of technology that simply wasn't integrated into the attacker or the defender at that point. And then add, you know, the layer of regulation and compliance and liability. And I can't see how this is getting easier. It's getting more complex, more difficult. And Adam is smiling, but I've got to believe that this is a more difficult job than it was 20 years ago. And it's not getting any easier as we look at the next 5 years.
So, Adam, yeah, I have to ask you, we have more cybersecurity companies now we have more cyber technology, you would think, you know, it would make things somewhat easier. But of course, as Richard points out, the threats are just growing and growing. When you think back a decade ago, or even longer, what's your opinion? Just, is it more difficult now to be a CISO?
I think it is and it isn't. If I think back two decades ago, my first job was installing firewalls. They were projects that took 2 days, and I was connecting the first T1 that a commercial enterprise ever had to the internet, putting a firewall between the internet and the internal network, right? And then maybe setting up some firewall rules, some antivirus, some multi-factor authentication. That was all you had to do. Now we have created a lot more complexity, especially when you think about having started moving into the cloud 4, 5, 6 years ago for some organizations. You really changed the paradigm. We used to know exactly what our attack surface looked like. Now we've moved into the cloud and our attack surfaces is changing on a daily or potentially hourly basis, not to mention, you know, the advent of software as a service, platform as a service, as well as infrastructure as a service. But, you know, the industry has evolved. You know, the tooling has evolved, the visibility has evolved. You know, our capability to be able to find the right appliances and tools for the problem, to solve the problem, has really made it possible, you know, for us to keep up with those trends and to try and keep up with those attacks.
And when you mention tools, you know, the first thing I think of is how today the tools are in the hands of the cyber criminals, and those same tools are in our hands. And that's a very scary thing. And I'd like your opinion on generative AI. We can't really have a conversation with the CISO without asking about this. Clearly, this is weaponizing cyber criminals, and hopefully it's going to, you know, help cybersecurity professionals. But where are we at this point? Is it doing, you know, more harm than it is good? And are we going to turn the corner? And how do you see that helping us down the line?
Well, I think there have been, in my career, there have been several shifts in, you know, how the business does what it needs to do and the technologies that we as security professionals need to adapt and secure in order to enable the business. I look at generative AI as one of those. Yes, attackers have access to it. And yes, it is going to change the face of phishing emails and deep fakes and all of the threats that were kind of starting to play out right now. But at the same time, I think throughout history, defenders have created defenses when they have been subject to attack. And I think that we have a lot of very well-paid, very well-resourced cybersecurity technology companies that have the ability to take advantage of AI and Gen AI and build that into their platforms. As well, we have very smart, sophisticated resources on our own teams that are learning these new technologies and applying them to the data we have and the tools that we have, you know, to make use of all that's available to help us defend against the attacks we're seeing. So, you know, I think we'll continue to see that cycle evolve. I'm not necessarily concerned about the different types of attacks that are coming, because I think we are in lockstep building defenses to defend against those attacks.
So, Richard, your firm has spent so much time on artificial intelligence, generative AI, looking at companies. And I've noticed that just about every cybersecurity company now on their homepage has something to say about AI, and they've sort of, you know, changed their language and their positioning a little bit. So it's hard to know, you know, who really is an AI company and who isn't. But my question for you is, AI central to the cybersecurity industry at this point?
Machine learning and AI have been a part of the cybersecurity stack for many years. I think when you look back a decade ago plus, machine learning and AI were enhancing the detection and response capabilities. And to Adam's point, I think there's precedents out there for the capability of defenders to utilize machine learning and AI to enhance their capability. So I think we've already seen that. Probably the first stage of development of AI and ML and its integration into the cybersecurity stack. With the expansion of that AI, ML, attack surface, let's say, with large language model and generative AI, I think that's a continuation of developing of this area, and defenders will build platforms that defend and protect against, you know, the asymmetries that are out there today. So look, attackers have advantages today with large language models. All of a sudden, that asymmetry has shifted, you know, to some degree to the hacker side, where, you know, previously it might have taken 10 individuals, now it takes 2 individuals. Likewise, we're seeing on the defender side that happens. So that cat and mouse game continues and is not dissimilar from what we saw as machine learning and AI were addressing APTs, you know, a decade ago. And you saw companies that were looking at net flow data and APTs and defending the network, and that evolved. So I anticipate over the next 5 to 10 years, you're going to see platforms built that address that cat and mouse game that continues to happen.
So, Adam, a lot changes in our industry, but then there are things that don't change. I went back and took a look at, you know, how many Fortune 500 CISOs did we interview over the past 18 months? And I forget the number. It was almost 50, 40 some odd, you know, CISOs. And just about every one of them told us that it is still very difficult to recruit and equally difficult to retain cybersecurity professionals. And they put an emphasis on the more experienced people insofar as retention, and definitely an emphasis on, you know, filling a lot of the entry-level positions and looking for a pipeline. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is, from a retention perspective, you certainly want to keep the people that understand your environment, that understand your technology, your tooling. We think about this as something that we call the defender's advantage, right? Knowing our environment better than an attacker does enables us to work more quickly when we are investigating suspicious activity or looking at events in our environment. So, you know, I think we want to retain, you know, the great talent that we have. We want to create opportunities for them to learn the latest technologies. And it's hard, I think, when you go to the open market, you know, to try to backfill a position, to find someone who, you know, maybe has the knowledge and skills in your particular environment, on your particular set of tools. And so, you know, there's always a ramp up time for that, whether it's, you know, someone junior coming in or someone experienced coming in. There's always that amount of time before they become effective. And I wonder how generative AI will play into that in terms of being able to collect documentation, create training plans, and really eventually start to reduce the amount of time it takes to get an analyst or a mid-level person from question to answer, because there's going to be so much for them that gets processed by Gen AI in a really fast way. But that being said, you know, I think we want to recruit and retain the best talent that we can, because it gives us the best possible capability, you know, to defend our organization.
So, Richard, to build on the labor discussion, women in cybersecurity is a very hot topic, rightfully so. Your company has been very supportive. Evolution Equity has partnered with Women Who Code. About a decade ago, women made up 10, 11% of the people in our industry. Now that's about 25%. Are women one of our largest untapped resources? Because let's face it, 50% of the population, 50% of the workforce here in our country, and we just don't have 50% in our industry.
Yeah, I mean, based on the statistics, I would agree. And, you know, we are trying to enable organizations that lessen the ramp time that Adam mentioned by enabling the training that happens before they go to the job market. And I think the more individuals, capable individuals we have in the job market to fill the roles that are out there, the better we are at defending. When you went to an RSA event 20 years ago, there weren't too many women attending. Today, that attendance is maybe 40%, maybe 30%, if you look at the numbers. So that is improvement. We still need to improve further. And I think being able to train and inform on the opportunities in the cybersecurity space will hopefully help that process.
So, Adam, after, you know, being in the industry as long as you have, do you see more diversity in our industry, whether it's women or young people, just, you know, generally, is it a more diverse group of people? And are we doing as an industry enough to, you know, open that up to an even greater number of people?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's gotten significantly more diverse as I've seen the industry evolve over the last 25 years. And I think it needs to. I think we believe really strongly that teams of individuals from a wide spectrum of backgrounds and experiences make better business decisions and contribute to building stronger companies. And I think we are supporting those diverse ecosystems. And I think we've seen, you know, many of the colleges and universities, even down here in Miami, really create programs in cyber for, you know, very, very diverse populations, you know, to learn the skills needed, you know, to get entry-level jobs, you know, and experience jobs, master's degrees in cyber. And I think that's going to ultimately help fill that talent gap that we're seeing when the education that's necessary to be effective is accessible on a much more broader level.
Well, speaking of diversity, you, Adam, are a barista, am I right? Or still a barista?
I try to make fancy coffee at home, you know, as much as I can. I've got the mid-level fancy machine, not the super fancy, but mid-level.
Well, I told you previously that we're going to be opening a CISO cafe. So maybe you can, you know, take us to school on that topic on one of the episodes.
Absolutely. I will make my special home version of a Starbucks Oleato that's a little bit more healthy, but just as good.
See, Adam, I think it's the Swiss influence. You know, I spent a lot of time in Switzerland as well. And coffee is like a national pastime. And if you don't have the right coffee machine or the right coffee, you get run out of business there. So I think, you know, when we opened up our office in New York, that Italian or Swiss coffee machine came with the opening.
There you go.
You're both welcome to join us here and sample it and rate it.
So maybe the best way to close out this episode, the two of you have so much experience, is to remove the host, that's me, and let you each ask each other a question. So maybe I'll start with you first, Adam. I've known Richard for quite a while, and he knows as much about this industry and companies in the industry, startups, the most innovative companies, whether they've invested in them or not. So any question you'd like to ask Richard?
My question would really be around the current state of the industry. And if you think about, you know, Gen AI as, you know, a trend, how do you balance being a disciplined investor with the stakeholders that you have in your funds and the FOMO of just, you know, there's a lot of great companies with great technology and great innovation happening right now, but chances are the valuations are fairly high. So how do you balance those two things?
Great question. I think when we, you know, present to our investors, and our thesis is Evolution Equity Partners will build a diversified portfolio within the cybersecurity space that represents the different stages that we invest in, which is early growth, later stage, geographic diversification, as well as over time, vintage year diversification. I think some of that allows you to take advantage of the cycle that we're in today, where depending on where you are, early growth or later stage, valuations may have compressed somewhat over the last couple of years. So there's opportunity there. I think to your point on the AI ML FOMO, highly selective, investing in great teams, great founders that have done it before, that will be able to withstand the cycle more likely than not because of their company building capability and their ability to pivot, which will inevitably happen with many of the companies that are focused on machine learning and AI today. So bottom line, diversified portfolio, that's not only investing in sort of the flavor of the month, and that's not the way we like to think about it, but really a diversified exposure to the cybersecurity space, which we think is the optimal way on a risk-adjusted basis to be investing in private market cybersecurity.
So Richard, to close things out for us, you know, a question for Adam.
Yeah, similar question. So outside of machine learning and AI or anything to do with that in cyber, what one or two areas are you excited about in this industry? I mean, they may incorporate machine learning and AI, but not at a headline level. You know, what categories do you see as, you know, being attractive over the next 5 years and companies that you may be seeing that address that area?
So I think one is certainly identity. I feel as though this year may be a breakthrough year for identity, whether it is in the category of identity threat detection and response or in the overall category of kind of identity governance, next gen identity governance. I feel as though we are starting to pay more attention to both the lack of control that we have over privilege in our environments, and the fact that we need to get back to a least privilege policy and be able to apply that at scale across this now very distributed environment that we find ourselves in with infrastructure platform and software as a service. And we've also realized that as opposed to 5 or 10 years ago, when detecting anomalies on endpoints was the way that we would identify that an attack was in progress, I think now it's transitioned or starting to transition really towards detecting anomalies around identities and the use of identities. And we need to be better at understanding who has what access and what are they doing with that access? And is there something suspicious about that? So I'm seeing a lot of activity in this space. We happen to, have made an investment in this space and in Veza, about 2 years ago. And so I think this is one that's going to really evolve, over the next few years and be very exciting, whether it's Veza or anyone else who's innovating in the space. I think it's an emerging category for us.
Absolutely. Fully agree there. I mean, similarly, we invested in Olaria, which is Jim Alcove's company, launched recently. So on that thesis, lots of opportunity there. We're looking at some other companies in adjacencies in that segment and agree on that front. And inevitably, machine learning and AI play a part there as well.
Huge. So for sure.
We're not moving away from that topic.
Well, we're going to close off here with a coffee date. The three of us have to get back to each other. Adam, I think you're in Miami. Is that right?
Yep, that's okay. Right.
My daughter is actually graduating from University of Miami shortly. So
awesome.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get together when I'm down there. I'm going to try to get down there, one more time, and then we can bring you up to New York and take Richard up on his offer, and the three of us have coffee together.
That sounds great.
And you'll awesome. Be making it. All right. Thank you. It was great to have you both.
Thanks, gentlemen. Thanks, Steve. Right. Adam, have a great day.
You too. Take care.
I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. This interview is brought to you by Evolution Equity, an international venture capital investor partnering with exceptional entrepreneurs to develop market-leading cybersecurity and enterprise software companies. Visit evolutionequity.com to learn more. You can keep up with all of our media at cybercrimemagazine.com.